Coming up today on Guts, Grit, and Great Business.
And you can make more money doing it consciously by focusing on impact and transparently helping people in the way that they need and creating a better humanity than you can just being greedy and trying to figure out how to get as much money out of people. And, you know, phrases that are used in that kind of marketing, get them to open their wallets so you can pick out as much money as possible. Well, what if you get them to open their minds so you can transform them as much as possible, and they never want to stop the journey with you because you're awakening them to what they've always really wanted in the first place, to the dream life where they get to do something that matters and they too get to put money in the bank. And that's, to me, the whole conscious business revolution, is that we get to do something that matters. And by golly, you can also drive a Mercedes if that's what you want. You know, I've had plenty of them, but you see that it's not either or, it's and. It's all about and.
The adventure of entrepreneurship and building a life and business you love, preferably at the same time, is not for the faint of heart. That's why Heather Pierce Campbell is bringing you a dose of guts, grit, and great business stories that will inspire and motivate you to create what you want in your business and life. Welcome to the Guts, Grit, and Great Business Podcast, where endurance is required. Now here's your host, the legal website warrior, Heather Pierce Campbell.
All righty, welcome. I am Heather Pierce Campbell, the legal website warrior. I'm an attorney and legal coach for information entrepreneurs throughout the US and the world. Welcome to another episode of Guts, Grit, and Great Business. Today, we are going to have a super fun and enlightening conversation with JV Crum III. Welcome, JV.
Well, Heather, I am so excited. You know, we recently met. You came on the Conscious Millionaire Show. We're both attorneys, but there's a little difference. I coach entrepreneurs to be entrepreneurs, and I don't do legal work. It's excluded from my contract, so I don't get sued for that. And you do legal work. And I just want to say, you know, having been to law school, I recognize a good attorney. So I'm going to give you a compliment that was unsolicited. You have a good legal mind, and it's just fun talking to you about legal stuff.
Well, thank you. I take that as the compliment that it is. And I've definitely enjoyed connecting with you. Some of my very favorite people on the planet, I'm sorry to all the rest of you, are attorneys.
I'm partner time, and we're not talking partner at the law firm. And I have to say, I mean, it's not like it must be there to be a done deal, but I'm looking, right? You know, when you're looking, my number one preference is that I end up married to another attorney because we just think differently.
Yeah.
Right. I just go, that'll just make it easier.
The thing that I love about so many of the attorneys that I know, and let's be clear that I know attorneys can get a bad rap, right? There's a certain percentage of every.
Some of them deserve it.
Some of them deserve it.
I went to law school with them.
Right. Right. We all know a few of them. Right. Some percentage of any industry can cause the vast majority of the problems, right? But the reality in the legal industry is that more than 50% are solo practitioners. They are entrepreneurs building small businesses themselves. And guess what they want to do? Show up and solve problems for people. That's it. So many attorneys that I know have a servant's heart, and they don't know. None of us are taught, even in law school, how to build a business. Were you taught in law school how to build a business?
No, but I was running a 50-person business and going to law school.
Right. So
I already knew how to do that.
You didn't know how to be taught. Well, and let's so.
No, but I think it's a real problem. Most of my attorney friends are not the solo people. They're the ones who started firms. So they're the head partners in firms, but they ended up. Of course, as you know, we can talk law if we want. Yeah. The people who make the most money as lawyers start a firm or they're a head partner, and they actually don't practice law anymore. They're the rainmakers.
They manage people. That's right.
They manage people. They go out and get deals.
Yes.
And 90%, and it's why the solo practitioner has a problem, is because they don't know how to do business, and far more problematic is they don't want to do business. They just want to practice law. And that's why they join law firms so they can be a member of a law firm and they keep shuffling them work. and they keep half the money or more, but they didn't have to go get the work. Now think about coaches. Isn't it the same thing? Most coaches want to coach, but they don't want to go run a business. They don't want to have to go get clients.
That's right. So many, even so many experts, right? So many people have servant hearts.
Experts, service providers, those are the kind of people I work with. And some of them, because I work with 7- and 8-figure entrepreneurs as well as 6-figure. But the ones that are successful as entrepreneurs, at some point, if they're a coach or something, you know, as I go, you have to decide, do you really want to be a coach or do you want to build a business? Because you can't do both at some point.
That's right.
I know I'm at that point where I know I'm going to have to hire the business manager because I can't be the star and do the programs and have the podcast and manage a business. Thankfully, I know how to manage a business. So I know if somebody's doing it right or wrong, but you have to decide, are you an entrepreneur or are you a coach or are you an attorney? Or because at some point it's hard to do both the service provider and the entrepreneur journey.
True. So true. So for folks, we're doing this a little backwards today. We jumped right into the conversation. No, I love it. And but for those of you that don't know JV, JV Crum III is the founder of ConsciousMillionaire.com. He is the world's number one authority on limitless mindset. He is also a speaker, coach, futurist, and investor. JV is a 34 times number one international best-selling author and creator of the Mindset to Millions event. JV is on a mission to uplift the consciousness of humanity by teaching entrepreneurs how to excel at the intersection of vision, impact, and profit, right? Which is why he's living to help entrepreneurs and, you know, folks who are in that space. He also hosts the Conscious Millionaire Show for entrepreneurs who want to get rich changing the world. In its 8th season, the podcast is heard by millions in 190 countries around the world. Welcome, JV. That is quite the introduction.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And it's only proof that, you know, we've now surpassed 3,200 episodes on my 9 podcasts that compose my network. And I've been reflecting on that. And I'm going, well, maybe it only proves I'm able to convince amazing people like you to talk to me for an hour. Maybe that's all it proves. And we did a lot of marketing and somehow people decided they wanted to listen to it. But I feel honored because of this event, Mindset to Millions. Last Friday, I was interviewing people to get testimonials, right? Because folks, if you have an event and it's successful, please interview the people to get testimonials. It'll make the next event by the same name easier to sell into. And one of them said, JV, remember you said you were writing a book, another book, folks. And I said, on mindset. And I said, yeah, I do. And I was like, so I'm so busy. I just am. I just don't know any other way to do this. My life is so scheduled. And I'm going, yeah, I'll do that next year. And she looks at me. This is the person who came to my bed. She goes, no, JV. Now she's coaching me. She says, you're doing it this year. And I breathed. And the event was Mindset to Millions. And I taught my 7 money mindsets. And I think I had moved forward on that book because I didn't have a title, and I'm a title person. I work top down. Some people work, you know, like they go, oh, I'll come up with the title later. And I go,
of course you do. Right. You went to law school. You're an attorney.
I don't know how to write something or create something if I don't have a title. I got to have the title first, and then I'll figure out what goes in it. Right. So the title immediately came to me, Conscious Millionaire, Your 7 Money Mindsets. All right. That was Friday. Sunday, what did I do for my Sunday? I outlined the book. Yes, I did.
Bet. How's it coming along?
Well, amazing. And here was the part that was fun is I decided it's only going to be 100 pages. I know exactly what's going to be in it. There are going to be 9 chapters. The names might shift a little bit, but that's, you know, that's just the refinement process. And I said, I'm going to do one of those things where you have like 10 pages up front for all these people say nice things about you. And I said, okay, 30 is about the right number. Do you know when I stopped listing names? 110.
That were willing to come in and say something about the...
I'm sure at least 90% would. And I didn't really think about it much because I live in this world of how different it is 8 years later. Folks, if you don't have a podcast, I'm just going to tell you, go get a podcast. I'm not selling you podcast services. I do that, but it's really much more expensive than you want to pay. But if you you want to get known, nobody knew me 8 years ago. Like I said, if you lived in Tampa, I was in the right circles and people knew me. But any place else, you know, go to Orlando, they never heard of me, right? And being a podcaster is what actually put me on the map. And of those 110, because I'm not going to mention any names now or have a lot of enemies, at least 70 are household celebrities that are become friends of mine. Right? And you have the same thing. People I never would have met, but they were on my show. And people ask me this all the time, where's the money in podcasting? Because everybody thinks, oh, having the sponsor line.
Sponsorship or something.
No. I mean, I had somebody yesterday who offered me a fairly sizable amount of money, and I'm sending them a proposal, of course, because I'm no longer living in Oklahoma, so I learned better, right? But that's not what I look for. I don't go out looking for sponsors ever. The money, and there is a lot of money, is all in the relationships.
Yes.
100, because you and I've already talked about multiple ways that we could do business together. The money is in the relationships, and the relationships are your guests. Of course, I have listeners that buy things, but the money is in the relationship with the guests.
Well, and this is my experience across business in general. It's always about the relationships. It's always the irony of moving, because I really developed my primary practice, you know, which is my traditional legal practice, in the ways that most people develop a small business. For me, I was clear early on, because I launched my practice right out of law school, that I just needed to get in front of people. So I put myself on a path of scheduling lunch with an attorney every...
You got to go to the after hour cocktail party. Whether you want a drink or not is not the issue.
Yeah, no, it's just really about getting FaceTime with people so that you get to understand them, they get to know you. There's that mutual connection where next time they think of somebody that they want to send work to, or they think of something that they need help with, or somebody that they know needs help with, they think of you. And without the relationship building, you just don't have that. And the irony is, when I moved into the online space, because I knew I needed to create a new legal model to support my clients.
Because the old one is not where people look. I do have friends. I'm not. and it's not I'm not because I'm against it. It's just it doesn't fit my personality that I actually want to join the country club.
Right. You know,
because I'm about 40% introvert. So when I get through with this kind of stuff, then I just want to sit.
You got to go recover.
I got to go recover. Right. But the thing is, you've got to decide. And I just feel, what a fortunate time to be living that we have this thing called Zoom. You know, when the pandemic hit, my business model didn't change one bit.
Yeah.
I just stopped going to in-person conferences 2,000 miles away.
That's right.
But that's all. And then I realized that if I was going there to meet people, that I knew enough people that I just asked them, hey, who should I meet? And I'm sure you have it happen all the time that people just, it happened today. Right? People send a little message. Oh, this is somebody you should meet. And they do it. And it's not like with an outcome. Mm-mm. No, it's just like you two think something alike and you all need to talk.
Totally.
Of course, there's almost always an outcome comes from it. But you go to those meetings with no, I go to those meetings with no, you know, I have a laundry list of things that could happen, but I go to find out who is this person.
Well, and that, you know, that is the magic in connecting with people and having these open-ended connections. Like when I was getting started in building the Legal Website Warrior, my online business, I thought, I don't know digital marketing. I don't know all these fancy tricks and things that you need to do to really, but you know what I do know? It's connecting with people, building relationships, having real conversations. I could do that all day long, right? And the irony is that I've built my online business in precisely the same way that I built my original practice, which is all just relationship-based.
It's relationships.
You know, and I think that can take the fear out of it for people if they realize that's really the root of everything.
Well, and what's very interesting to me, because I'll go back 10 years before I did the podcast, and it was Skype. Now it's Zoom, right? And people were, I remember somebody, I was in a mastermind. Worse, I created the mastermind. And they sent me a link to choose from their scheduler when we could meet. I was so offended. I went, we are friends. What are you talking about? I have to choose one of these blocks just to get to talk to you. And what's so interesting, and that first couple of years, it was like, oh, we're going to go get on Skype again, you know, but I saw it as this other thing. And it was so funny, about a month ago, someone was talking to me about live events. And I no longer distinguish between in-person and virtual events. Mm-hmm. To me, they're no longer different. We're in the same room because I've been doing this. I do this all day long. And mm-hmm. it was all of a sudden interesting to me. And I actually said this, but not to them. Wow, that's old school.
Right.
Right. This whole idea that I have to get on a plane and go somewhere 2,000 miles to talk
at a hotel. Right.
Yeah. I'm going, wow, that sounds like old school. I can tell you, and it was interesting because a good friend of mine is not excited about this because we were having conversation. And that's the whole metaverse. And I'm going, oh, I'm going to go buy some territory in several metaverse. No, I'm not joking. I am.
I believe you.
And I'm going to build an institute. And what I'm really thinking is I'm going to build just a big mansion. Now, nobody can argue that I have a big mansion and it hurt the carbon footprint, right? Because it's in an imaginary world. And I'm saying that's where I'm going to hold my parties from now on, where people can come in their avatars. Mm-hmm. We can have people from all over the world, right? And we can have parties in this luxury mansion that relatively costs nothing. And I'm going, this is the world for me. Create institutions there to train people, create ways to do my nonprofit in 100 countries. I caught myself just last week going, I've been saying I want to build centers in 100 countries. And I went, huh. And maybe
just
not.
Just build it in the metaverse.
Maybe yes. We just build it in the metaverse and invite everybody to the training sessions. And then the training sessions are held in 8-hour blocks or what, within 8-hour blocks. It doesn't mean they have to be 8 hours long, but it's like they meet the three different time zones people can relate to. And I'm going, I don't think we actually, this could be cheaper than I thought to change the whole world, right?
Well, isn't this the truth? I, even just before, like a couple hours ago before this call, I was meeting with a potential client, and this is a high level program that I offer to what I call my Catalyst Club members. It's folks that have, you know, $1 million in revenue a year minimum. They're quickly scaling. It's a small business, but they're growing fast. And they, you know, this one company has 60 contractors around the world, all in different countries, right? And their question was, do you work with businesses like us? And I'm like, almost all of my clients that are at this level have some element of this happening, international, you know, supports in place, various contractors, if not around the world, all over the United States. Like, this is becoming the norm. The world is getting smaller.
It is becoming the norm. And I'm thinking about Startup Week. Denver has a big Startup Week. And I think it was 3 or 4 years ago, I was at one. And it was a major company. I'm not disclosing it because I can't remember it, right? So, but it was a major company, and they were talking about all, and it was a breakout. It was like an hour and a half on the costs and how you handle. And all of a sudden, what you're saying, and all, the metaverse was like an ethereal idea. Now, the metaverse is still 5 to 10 years off in various forms, but we're already starting VR and, you know, elements of it, right? And I'm in Peter Diamandis' group, and it just happens as we're recording this, the next 3 days, I'm going to be doing his annual summit live stream, right? And all these people are people who are building or have built companies. They're selling for hundreds of millions of dollars. They're all changing the world. And they're all tech related in some ways, which is how I'm now beginning to vision Conscious Millionaire, not as a tech company, but a tech enabled company. So I'm looking at how do I scale super fast? What are the avenues for that? And that's why I joined tech groups now, so that I understand what the technology is. But, you know, I'm just thinking metaverse, I can't wait. I'm like going, it's no different than Zoom on steroids. We just feel like we're in the room together even more. Right?
So fascinating to think about, right?
The possibilities are just crazy in terms of how we can change the world much quicker, you know?
Oh, totally. Well, and it's interesting that, you know, something like the pandemic forced some changes that truthfully we needed to have for quite some time anyways, right? Even something as simple as ordering food to go from a restaurant. How many restaurants do you know, if you were really plugged into like a local restaurant community, that were not even set up for online orders before the pandemic? So many. Really, really old school technology, right? Like your one option was to show up and sit in that restaurant and that's it. And now I don't think you could find a restaurant that has survived these past 2 years without upgrading their sales system, that online technology, being able to place a direct order.
Well, we're having what are on the surface, at least, catastrophes. Time compress. You know, I want to just mention Ukraine. Because Ukraine is a horrendous tragedy, you know? And at my event, every person who bought, I call it a continuation of the journey, right? But I had an amount that this amount is going to Ukraine. Humanitarian, from my side, you're not paying anymore. I just asked myself, literally 3 days before the event started, how could I make this event more meaningful? And I went, oh, well, we can support humanitarian relief. So this is an event that I am following closely, in part because I'm a futurist, and in part because I have to say, at least once a day, I sit down and I'm horrified. I can't even believe this is occurring, right? But I also have asked, so, okay, like the pandemic, what's going to come out of this? And I think what's going to come out of this is compression to clean energy. Compression to clean energy. We're going to get there so much faster.
Well, there are just things, that people will no longer tolerate, right? So even in the shipping industry, people voluntarily saying, nope, we are not accepting this oil. We're not offloading it. We are just not going to do it.
2 weeks from now, I was very fortunate. I went this last weekend and I'm picking up my new Grand Cherokee. So in full disclosure, my favorite vehicles are Grand Cherokees and European vehicles. And I frequently have one of each, like a Mercedes or a Porsche and a Grand Cherokee. I live in Colorado. So of course, I want half of the mountain roads I want to go on. You kind of need a Grand Cherokee or a Wrangler to get on them. All right. So it was interesting. Typically, you have 95% of Grand Cherokees have a sunroof. This year, about 5%. And mine's one of those. Why? Because they can't get the chip that runs the motor to make the window go back and forth. They can't get that chip. But here was another thing. I'm doing a lease because I thought, do I want to buy? Do I want to lease? Because when I buy, I tend to keep things 6 or 7 years because I take good care of stuff. And in case you don't know, Jeep and Mercedes have a 7-year cycle on their body. And this is a new start of a cycle for Jeep. But I said, you know, they're gonna go hybrid and electric. And I talked to the guy I bought from and I said, let me just check this out before we do the deal. And he says, that's right. So this is 2022. He says, in 2025, we're already slated. Every Grand Cherokee model will be gas, hybrid and electric. So I know if I want to continue that, because in Colorado, electric gets a little dicey in the mountains, right? And by 2030, we'll have no more gas models of anything. And that's where we're headed. But it's going to speed up and speed up and speed up because of the Ukrainian crisis, the reaction to Russia, but also people making new decisions that we wouldn't have even thought through before.
Well, and it is really fascinating to see, you know, human behavior and how we respond in times like Ukraine, right? So and even something small, like people around the world feeling helpless in regards to that situation, but trying to figure out a way to help. And then of all places, like Airbnb being flooded with just voluntary payments, people are clearly not going to Ukraine, right, to visit. And but using it as a vehicle to get money into the hands of Ukrainians, right, who need it. And just how creative humans can be, even using existing technology, but using it for something that totally was not anticipated for.
Absolutely. And so I think there's this then you have to kind of decide, where do you think we're headed? So I firmly believe my mission for being on this planet at this particular time is to help us evolve over the next 20, 30 years into a much more conscious world in which we're making different kinds of decisions that are based on everybody winning, not just a small percentage. And I think it's important, and you and I are fortunate because probably the majority of the people we know are in the 20% that gets to win. And that's just in the United States. In most countries, it's not even 20%. If you go to Asia, it's not 20%. If you go to Africa, I don't know what, 5%. And it's time to change our structures, our social structures, our education structures, our government structures, certainly our economic structures. I did a training this morning, and it was the beginning of a 18-month training. And I asked people, if they were going to become a billionaire within 10 years, what problem must they solve for humanity? You know, and in full disclosure, this is a training to make your first million. But I guarantee you, it's a lot easier to make your first million if you're thinking, oh, I could legitimately figure out how to make a billion. And they go, well, I can certainly figure out how to make first million, right? I might have my third million by the end of the year. And one person, two people there, they were thinking lofty, and that's what we have to think. Like, how do we create different structures so that they were saying they wanted to eradicate homelessness. So we define, well, is homelessness include people who, like at this time right now, there are 4 million displaced from just, you know, Ukraine. Is it displaced people or is it homeless in the traditional sense? And then that raveled into a conversation between two people about human rights. Like, what are the human rights? And they believed education should be a human right, food, homes, having a place to live, having health care. So all of a sudden, you put that into a capitalist model, all of a sudden it's a different capitalism. It isn't to me like you throw out capitalism. It's that we change our value structure about how we approach it so that it's about, you know, I'll do an aside. So I studied NLP extensively, and the people I studied it with the deepest were Ed and Marianne Reese, who are now in their 80s and still great friends, or like a second set of parents. And they owned all the rights to international NLP. So they would do trainings. And I went over with them 1 year, 3 weeks in right outside Vienna. And I was the only American in the training. And the other people were from 15 European countries. And this changed me, not so much for the NLP, because I was already studying NLP, the values, because they're all business people. And I was a business guy, owned this business. I was the only one who thought business, and I have since changed, folks, but I was the only one who thought business was about making money. And I was done. Like, I didn't feel like I was supposed to have loyalty to anyone. And, you know, I have really changed, you know, I got consciousness, you know, and they were all saying, oh no, that's not what business is about. It's providing livelihoods to our employees and support to their families. And I'm going, wow. And at the time, so this was early 90s, that was certainly not the view of business in the United States, right? Right. There was no such thing as thinking about conscious business, right? It was, what are you talking about? You know, you paid them. What else obligations do you have? Well, these people enlightened me literally by helping me realize, oh, there are higher callings for business than just putting money in the bank. And that's when I started to see things differently, was that that event is that I started to realize, and that's what led me ultimately to Conscious Millionaire. And, you know, within a decade, I'd started Conscious Millionaire from that event. And I'm sure that some of those seeds planted in me. And that's why it's so important for us to do podcasts and plant seeds, because folks, you can actually make more money if that's a very strong value of yours. And it's a very strong value of mine. And you can make more money doing it consciously by focusing on impact and transparently helping people in the way that they need and creating a better humanity than you can just being greedy and trying to figure out how to get as much money out of people. And, you know, phrases that are used in that kind of marketing, get them to open their wallets so you can pick out as much money as possible. Well, what if you get them to open their minds so you can transform them as much as possible, and they never want to stop the journey with you because you're awakening them to what they've always really wanted in the first place. To the dream life where they get to do something that matters, and they too get to put money in the bank. And that's, to me, the whole conscious business revolution, is that we get to do something that matters. And by golly, you can also drive a Mercedes if that's what you want. You know, I've had plenty of them, but you see that it's not either or, it's and. It's all about and.
Well, and this ripple effect of impact, right? You impacting your clients in a certain way that allows them to create greater impact.
Well, if you uplift their consciousness about who they can become, guess what? All the people they interact with, they're going to interact with them differently. Right? And now we do get this, not just a ripple, but a big wave going out. And the world changes. And to me, humanity ending up on a different path than it's on right now, or farther along the path in a very conscious way, it is what I'm most on fire about. And in Conscious Millionaire, I just want to help people make their money doing that.
Yeah. When did that become your mission?
You know, that's a great question. I knew when I was 25, I moved into the four-story home and had the Mercedes. So I got my dream. And within 3 months, and I'm more proud of this than the house and the Mercedes and all that and the money, is I had a day in which I had a total meltdown. So my house was on the water in Tampa. I was watching it. Every time I tell the story, it's like I'm there. I was watching the palm trees and I was watching the sailboats on the bay. And I had in 60 seconds, I had a total meltdown. I looked at it. I got this horrible feeling inside. And I said, something is wrong with this picture. And that was in my living room with my grand piano that I'd always wanted to have, right? And I've got, no, picture's wrong. And then I said the most raw things I could have said. I said, I don't even like myself, which was painfully true. And I'm horrible at relationships. Just ask anyone I tried to have one with, right? And I said, something's got to change. And I went out and I read the Wayne Dyers and the Tony Robbins and the Nightingale Conants, and I went to sweat lodges and I went to spiritual retreats. I became a seeker, right? And I have to say that I did not want to give the money back. I was like, oh, somebody I should donate the money to? And go, no, because this is a lot nicer house than I grew up in. And we had broken down Chevrolets, not Mercedes. So I think I'll keep that part, but there's something missing. And that's when, you know, take a journey forward. I ultimately sold the companies, went and lived at a Buddhist monastery. And from the Buddhist monastery, I went to live at Esalen on the Big Sur coast with Human Potential Movement. And then I went to Boulder, which I said was kind of like living at a Buddhist monastery that was Esalen, except I got to go camping a lot, right? So I'd go camping for 2 or 3 weeks at a time. And I would have what I call these conversations with the universe. And I'd light up my fire because I love the fires. It's such a spiritual, kind of shamanic type experience for me to be by the campfire. And I go, okay, sold companies, got a bunch of graduate degrees. Now, would you just tell me what I'm supposed to do? Because I'm open. I'm ready. Yeah, that took 3 years of that. And then finally, in a hot tub, I was ready. And so from whence all this comes into my mind and into my forehead comes the phrase conscious millionaire and a tingling in my spine. And I went, oh, that's cool. Yeah. But then they didn't give me a manual for what it was supposed to be.
They didn't?
No, weird. I didn't get one of those. But I did go and take consciousmillionaire.com. There it was. Nobody thought about it or had the implant or however you want to look at it. And about a month later, filed some trademarks because went to law school. And then I had to figure out what this was all about. And that has taken a while. And it still unravels deeper and deeper and deeper. It's not like I'm there. I don't think I'll ever be there.
Right.
It's like I see deeper insights of possibility all the time. I go, oh my God, we could start a program like that and help people in this way. And the day before, I'd never thought about the program. And then that changes the dynamic all over again. And one of the things I teach is how to live in flow. And I go, well, that's what flow is all about. It's like when you become, you don't just surrender in it, but you become flow.
Well, it's like walking farther down the path and just having a new fork open up, right? And you never looked that way. Right.
And that happens for me on a daily basis, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was doing a training yesterday. I did a training this morning, trainings I gave. And one of the things, as I said, I think in the next few months, either this is the direction seems likely or this is the direction seems likely. And then I said, and I want you to know, and they're quite different. And I want you to know, I don't care. And I'm not being flippant. It's not like it doesn't matter. It's only that I take the path that's authentic. So I'm at the place that if it's authentic, it feels like the right thing to do. It's the people I'm supposed to interact with. It's the program that seems like it'll change the world. I'm all in, but I'm not attached. You know, I did that Buddhist journey and I got that part. I got it. I'm not attached to what that looks like. I'm only, if anything, I'm not attached to any of it. I'm just like whatever's authentic and whatever's real and whatever's the flow and whatever synchronicity comes along and it feels authentic, like this is the step I'm here to take. Mm-hmm. That's what I really think that I have at some point learned to live in the surrendered life.
Yeah.
Right. And that changes everything because no longer it's about the ego or what the specifics are. It's like I'm now wanting a partner. Now, I wasn't wanting one much before. I probably would have had one because I tend to manifest stuff pretty quickly. But here's what's most interesting. Yeah, I have to admit, you know, I am a guy who likes people who are good looking. I do. I just say it. It's just the way
Shame
it is.
Shame on you. Shame on you.
It sounds so superficial. But here's the thing. They have to be in a good body. I'm just saying that, folks. I'm being an honest guy. And if guys were all honest, they'd say the same thing. So here's the thing. But beyond that, it's the soul I am supposed to journey with. And we will know each other in an instant. Right?
And
that's the way it works. That's the way it works.
Well, and I think so. I love this topic of flow, of intuition, of how do we make choices that serve our path, right? That's really what this is all about, building, whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you're an individual that has a regular job, but building a life that you want to love and have influence and impact in. And what I've learned is that some people have the clear yes or clear no signal, right? So a fork opens up or something happens and it's like, oh yeah, it's a clear yes or a clear no. But what I've learned is that's not the case for everybody. Hmm. Is there a practice that you do? I mean, and obviously you've got years of training and experience doing this, but is there a daily practice that you do? What do you say to the folks that want to hone that skill of learning to be in flow more consistently? And I think some people know the experience of it, but it's not as consistent as they would like it.
Absolutely.
To be.
Well, noticing that we have 2 minutes for me to answer a 48-hour nonstop discourse on, I do actually have a formula, and I haven't done this in a long time. Because I send people to Amazon and all that. I'm just going to give you my book and tell you where to go read. So here's my book. You can go get it for free, consciousmillionaire.com. Now here's the part that's hard to remember: free book. ConsciousMillionaire.com/freebook and read chapter 7. I call it Millionaire Inner Zone. It's my chapter on flow. It's all proprietary work. And there's a three-step formula there. And if you really want the formula, you're going to go get the book. It's free, right? So go get the book and read chapter 7. And there's a three-step formula that I have taught to, I have no idea how many people, but everybody has the same experience.
I love that.
Synchronicity starts coming.
Yeah.
Those magical, miraculous moments where you meet that person, you find the business deal, the client comes, the opportunity shows up. I live that way every day. And that three-step formula is how I do it. It's like, I almost couldn't not live that way. Like, I'm a systems guy. I'll tell you the systems joke real quick. So I'm a systems guy. How much of a systems guy are you? Yes, some people will call this anal. That's okay. That just means you're really a systems guy. So I like to have hot tea. And I have a gas stove. So you don't really, I burned up enough tea kettles that I finally came up with a system. If it's on the front burner, it's full of water. If it's on the back burner, I just didn't take time to put water in it. If it's on the front burner, I no longer have to check and turn it on, right? And I don't burn up another kettle because it's only on the front burner, right? But that's systems, right?
Right, a simple system that will save you. System.
So I live in flow by doing those three steps constantly. And it really is like living a miracle life. And I know that everybody can do it. I'm not special. I just figure out formulas. That's my gift.
But it doesn't. I love it.
Special. Everybody can use those formulas. I just, you know, transmit them to the world. That's all.
Right. We need the optimizers. We need the systems people to help us with those. That's awesome.
But you do too, because that's what a law is. Law is systems.
Yeah. Well, entrepreneurship is systems,
right? If you want to do it well, it's systems, because there's no way to do it well without systems.
No. Nope. Well,
we could talk forever like this.
We could. I feel like it's been like 3 minutes. Here we are. I'm so glad I asked you that question about flow. If you are listening, pop over. We're going to share links to JV's website, to his free book. Go get that chapter, read it. JV, it's been such a pleasure to have you. Like I said, time went by way too fast. I know that there is so much more we could explore. Maybe we do a round two of this conversation and have you back.
I would love to come back. I would love, listen, why don't we do three rounds?
Totally.
I'm a three guy.
I know there's so much that you have to share for entrepreneurs on their path that are walking this path. And we talked a lot today about, you know, a variety of really interesting topics, but I think we could dig in to some other topics as well. So just plan on that.
Okay.
And where do you like to show up online? Obviously, we'll share your resource. Do you connect with people other places?
I do. More LinkedIn.
Okay.
But also Facebook.
Right.
We put stuff in my story most days. Mm. But I have to be honest, the best way to connect with me is to get the book, and then you're part of the community.
Right.
One problem that is getting worse and worse by the day, like right now, I'll tell you, and some people will be horrified and other people will go, huh, I'm approximately 4,500 emails behind. But this does not bother me in the least, Heather, because 3 years ago, 23,000 emails behind.
Just sitting in your inbox, or actually ones that you had to read?
Yeah, they're sitting in my inbox. Some of them I've read. Some of them I have some idea of what's in the subject. There are people wanting me on their show, people wanting me on my show. I just, you know, I made a decision. And Chris Yeh, who was on my show, who wrote Blitzscaling with Reid Hoffman, mm-hmm. I sent him an email. And he didn't respond. He'd been on the show and we were trying to do something. And so I sent him a text or a voicemail because his was like 23,000. And he goes, I just don't worry about it. And I said, I don't either. Right?
I understand. I understand this.
Yes. So I will give you, I'm going to take up my non here. It's a blue pen. It costs a dollar, but I'll wave it around in some special way, which I just did. And I'm giving you permission to decide what is your priorities. And I made a decision apparently a while back that emails were not my priorities. It isn't that I'm going to do totally. It's not like I'm trying to ignore you, but I could let it eat up my entire day. And there are lots of people who do, and you might be listening and you're one of them. And that's why I'm saying this. Decide what your real priorities are. And then just let the rest of them fall through the cracks and don't even worry about it. That's like I said, when you were 23,000 emails behind, 4,300, maybe it'll be 4,500 when I look at them. Don't even bother you.
That's the golden nugget, folks. It truly is though. And I'm with you.
You can't do it all. That's just not possible.
You can't do it. You can't do it. And email is not my priority. Now, client emails are, right? I'll do a quick scan.
So let's do the quick ones. Clients, IRS, and bank. I always open all of those because like, ooh, maybe the check didn't clear. Now, folks, that doesn't normally happen, but you ought to find out. IRS, you better listen to those folks.
Right. You and better clients, show up for
clients
that.
Are important and they paid you. So they're expecting a response and they deserve one.
Yes.
And then true. Here's what to say about all the rest of those emails. I did not ask for them and I am not responsible for them, right? Because most of those other emails you did not ask for.
That's right. And if you have a VA, plug them into Superhuman on your behalf and only respond to the ones that are important. That's it. You leave the rest. So I'm with you.
All right.
I get it. JV, I appreciate you. We're going to share all the links. Thank you for showing up today. It's such a pleasure to connect.
Thank you for having me and thank you for all the work you're doing.
Oh, it's a joy when we get to do work that we love. It's a real joy. So we will have you back. We'll continue the conversation until next time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us today on the Guts, Grit, and Great Business Podcast. We hope that we've added a little fuel to your tank, some coffee to your cup, and pep in your step to keep you moving forward in your own great adventures. For key takeaways, links to any resources mentioned in today's show and more, see the show notes, which can be found at legalwebsitewarrior.com/podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast, and if you enjoyed today's conversation, please give us some stars and a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast so others will find us too. Keep up the great work you are doing in the world, and we'll see you next week.